The EntertainmentNerds.com podcast and our reflective opinions of entertainment nerds, managers, employees, affiliates, you, me, and you know, be cool, don't sue. Hey, everybody. This is Adam Paulus. It is really late on Tuesday, so technically it's Wednesday, August 13th, 2008. You might be wondering, hey, it's not Friday. Are you going on vacation? Why are you doing a show today? Well, I may have mentioned, if you've been watching the Twitter feed at twitter.com/EntEarth or following me elsewhere, I got to go see Clone Wars Tuesday night, and it was a full, I guess technically 2.5 days before I could see it myself before work. So, yay, that was cool. I was very happy to see it. I liked it for the most part. And this podcast, I am going to talk about it. So what does that mean to you, the listener? Will there be spoilers? Yeah, there's going to be, I'm going to treat this like you've seen the movie. So if you don't want to know, I'm going to leave a couple things that I don't want to tell you about, but basically, I'm going to reference characters and things that happen in the plot, unlike any review that's being posted so far, because I find that very irritating. How do I even know you've seen the movie unless you tell me what happened? So, yeah, I'm going to talk about what happened, and if you don't want to hear that, come back to this podcast after you've seen the movie, or just skip it. We'll put another one up soon. You'll like it. Trust me. It'll be great. So, with that in mind, let's get started on the film. How was it? What was there? What was different? What do you need to know about? Well, most of what you want to know are... really, pretty much everything you need to know can be summed up into two things. The first is you've probably seen it all in the marketing. All the characters and situations and a lot of the new models and props and stuff. A lot of it was in the marketing. You really won't see a lot of surprises. And the other thing you need to know is that it's not the same thing. The opening crawl has been changed. The opening fanfare has been changed. The end credit music has been changed. They really did go out of their way to make sure that you recognize it as Star Wars, but they changed it up just enough visually and in the terms of the sound and music and all that, that it's different. It's fresh, which is nice. I mean, it's not quite as different as having jumped from the 6 Star Wars movies to the Ewok movies or the Droids cartoon series, which I just watched last weekend, but again, by the way, for the first time in 2 decades, and it was awesome. So, yeah. what you're watching is a kid's show for the big screen. The Star Wars Clone Wars movie seems like it was made to keep the Star Wars franchise alive in the hearts and minds of youngsters, and maybe even bring a new generation of fans into it, who will be tomorrow's collectors, today's fans, tomorrow's fanboys and wiki editors, who knows? But it succeeded. It was it had a lot of the stuff that you would like from Star Wars and the previous Clone Wars cartoons, as well as new stuff that really seemed to appeal to kids or your cartoonish sensibilities. A great example would be, I guess Scooby-Doo would be a good way to put it. If you think about it, Scooby-Doo, you watch it, you've seen it, you know what the score is. There's going to be some kids, they're going to solve a mystery, and there's going to be a guy who would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids. And certain characters are always going to come back until Scrappy comes in, of course, but that's a different... Actually, that might be a very apt analogy, just hold that thought. And so you know when Anakin and Count Dooku and Obi-Wan Kenobi are involved... they're not going to die. With the clone troopers and the battle droids, you're basically looking at armies and armies of cannon fodder. And there's a bunch of new characters, too. I don't want to spoil all of the names for you because some of them aren't even named on screen. So that's extra research you can do if you care, or something you can look up for when the figures come out. The main new characters are, well, there's a few. One is Zero the Hutt, Jabba's uncle. Another one is Rota the Hutt, Jabba's son. And the other one is Ahsoka, who is Anakin's new Padawan. These are the new characters that seem to be getting the most attention, sort of. Zero hasn't gotten a lot of attention in the press yet, but he is, I guess flamboyant's a fair word. He's very colorful. He has tattoos and feathers and paint. And it appears that the voice actors decided to go for a sort of Truman Capote sound-alike, which is an interesting choice, because first of all, he's speaking English, very little Huttese, and there was laughter in the theater. It wasn't me laughing. I mean, honestly, wacky voices is a part of what makes cartoons fun. The voices, like the visual style, is always exaggerated, so if any of you are news radio fans, you'll know exactly what I'm going to do with my face, but Phil Hartman did this thing where he would pull down his face and do an impression of Dave, the news director, and he'd be like, "Boo-hoo, nobody likes me." It's kind of like how Zero sounds. for Star Wars, it's a little off-putting, but for a cartoon, it's really nothing unusual, because taking other character voices and putting them in animation, I mean, that's what animation is. That's what Fred Flintstone is. That's what all those characters are. Homer Simpson is basically Walter Matthau, so they're all coming from somewhere. Rhoda is basically a little baby hut. A lot of people in the review said he was really annoying. I didn't really find that, and most of my other cinematic companions basically agreed. Like, what was the big deal? He was just a little tiny giggling and crying and goofy hut. He wasn't super annoying. He didn't really have much to do other than be carried around, because he's basically a baby. Kudos to Lucasfilm for not making him a toddler and having him speak English and argue with the other characters, because that might have been a little much, considering everything going on in this movie, because there's a lot going on in this movie. So great execution, I thought, especially for a cartoon, so no big deal. And Ahsoka is going to be interesting to watch. Anakin's new Padawan is the same species as Shakti. We've known about her for, what's it been, 2 or 3 years now? And the result is a fine character, a model. She's, I guess, 12 or 14, depending on the resource you validate it with. And she fights with her lightsaber in a kind of a cool backhand style, which we don't see in the movies much. It's green, she's red, and she's wearing a tube top, which, okay, whatever. The character's voice actor, the actress, I haven't looked it up, and you can look it up if you want. She's pretty good as voice acting goes. She's very expressive. She can emote nicely. She also was given 2 really annoying terms of endearment for 2 of the major characters in the movie, which really come off as forced and annoying. I will not go into too many details, because if you don't notice it and it doesn't bother you, hey, great, forget I said anything. Maybe it's just me. But I think by and large, I did a good job with a character that could have been a lot worse off. And really what Ahsoka acts as is more of a point of entry to fans, sort of like, well, she just got here too, so if you just got here, you're all on the same page. It's kind of like in Hellboy when they had that Agent Bloom, or a lot of other stories. You kind of have to, you don't have to, but a lot of people do give the audience someone to identify with as a newcomer into this new strange world, so you don't feel quite as alone. So that's your the new characters. The voice actors are a mix of the previous Clone Wars series, new people from the video games and elsewhere, and surprisingly, a couple of surprises of actual live-action actors returning to lend their voice to the movie. Surprising no one, Anthony Daniels is C-3PO, but kind of surprising, Samuel L. Jackson and Christopher Lee do play Mace Windu and Count Dooku, which is great. They didn't have a lot to say, but at least they went ahead and got the right person for the job. The sound-alikes were all pretty good. The Anakin sound-alike was pretty awesome, actually. I thought he was great. Obi-Wan Kenobi, I didn't have much nice to say. Jabba's voice was great. Most of the new characters were good. Matthew Wood was back voicing battle droids. The clone troopers were all done by new people or person. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't actually researched that yet. They were all fine. The new Asajj Ventress was good. The new Padme is good. R2-D2 is always R2-D2. And for the most part, the characters were great. I mean, they weren't really off-putting. But again, I thought Obi-Wan was a little off-putting in the previous Clone Wars series as well, the Cartoon Network one from a few years ago. So for me, it was a little, didn't work. But he didn't have a lot to say or do, and it was overall, they got great voice actors. The animation was pretty stellar. Some people accuse it of being very plastic, which is a very appropriate word for it. If you look at the character designs on the big screen, you get to see a lot of detail you don't ordinarily see. And what I thought was really fascinating was if you look at a character like Count Dooku, you can tell that his beard is painted white, but also some of the skin around the beard that isn't necessarily the beard. So it's like an action figure where one of the paint masks was a little off, or someone's coloring and they painted a little outside the lines. And you can see a lot of that on characters. And it really does make them look a little bit more real. Maybe that's not the word, but the style is really good. The amount of texture put on a lot of the characters' faces, especially Count Dooku's, and a lot of the costumes, it's amazing. The clone troopers could have just been, plain white, shiny, slick, whatever, but there's a lot of texture there, like they've been damaged and roughed up a little bit, or maybe it was just done because they don't want it to be so reflective. Either way, you look at it and you go, wow, that looks really good, if you're the kind of person who sits there and looks for such things. And since I knew I'd be coming back later tonight and talking to you guys, I thought that's something you would like me to tell you about. You get to see a variety of new planets, like, boy, I can't remember the name of the planet already. That must have been a good one. But you still get to see Coruscant. You get to see Tatooine. You get to see Christophis, which is a new crystal planet, which was previewed on StarWars.com a few weeks ago. It's all right. And for the most part, you're seeing more things that you've seen before. Oh, the planet I forgot its name was Teth. I just remembered because it's like John Tesh, but not. The interesting thing about that was a lot of the action takes place in some environments which the animators seemingly managed to wisely reuse. They have a, depending on who you ask, Bomar or Biomar monk monastery on the planet Teth. But fans know Jabba the Hutt's palace was also a former monastery, so it looks like a lot of the same rooms were reused for multiple planets, which is fine. Honestly, it makes sense to do what you can to trim your budget, especially in animation. If you don't have to redraw and rebuild another digital model, you shouldn't. A lot of new vehicles, a lot of old vehicles were brought back, like the STAP and the ATTE and the gunship, and they seem very similar to a lot of the movie models. There was also a new, they said it was a spice freighter model called the Twilight. There's a Lego toy of it out right now. It looked really neat. I want a toy of this. I'd say of the entire movie, the one thing I wanted the most was a Twilight vehicle. I might have to buy the Lego one if Hasbro insists they're not going to make one themselves. But it was this little, it's kind of like a B-wing. It's horizontal. A wing folds down, maybe one folded up too, and it was old. It was really junky looking. It's really kind of like an abandoned StarCraft, and that's neat. That's the kind of thing I want to see more of, because Clone Wars, you're going to see a lot of brand new, right off the assembly line stuff, because the whole Clone Army was so new. Seeing a piece of, you know, rotted old starfighter history and old ancient buildings and things like that's all pretty cool. I mean, you see a Bantha skeleton, you get to see all kinds of fairly amazing stuff. So, I gotta say, the whole movie experience was worth seeing. It's 90 minutes. I'm trying to think of anything else I want to absolutely tell you about, because hopefully I wasn't too superficial. Oh, I didn't tell you the story. I'll tell you the story. It opens up, and there's fighting, and it's like last week on Clone Wars, blah, 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 wars are raging on, whatever. And Anakin and Obi-Wan are on the planet Christophsis. They're all fighting the Federation Army for reasons I don't think were particularly elaborated on, but cool battles. What are you going to do? Anakin's new Padawan's dropped off. They meet up. They have an adventure and defeat the army. Then Yoda says, hey, Jabba's son's been kidnapped. Go get him. And they go and they get him. And Asajj Ventress is involved. And there's double crossing. And there's kidnappings. And everyone's trying to frame everybody else. And Jabba and his uncle Zero are, there's a feud there. And it's, there's not that much to it. Basically, it's like a typical cartoon. There's kidnapping. There's lies. It's the whole Sith thing of you mix the lies with truth, and that's how the Sith manipulate a situation. That was a big part of it, because they got Jabba's uncle on board, and the idea is they're trying to make sure Jabba the Hutt got bumped off so Zero could take over his vast criminal empire and presumably some sort of a new future on stage. Oh, it's also worth noting there's a lot of Twi'lek dancing girls, so someone out there has got an eye for that. And there's a lot of cameos to watch out for as well, which I could tell you about, but I'm waffling because I don't want to, you know, it's neat when you see something and you go, oh, cool, I didn't know that was in there, because otherwise, you know, someone like me is going to ruin all the fun for you. So hopefully I'm not doing that. With any luck, this will be one of the lesser downloaded podcasts, at least until the weekend, because I don't want to ruin your experience of the Clone Wars. So check it out. It's going to be great. As you may or may not know, it's actually a pilot and presumably marketing push for the upcoming TV show and, of course, the toy line, which you can buy now at entertainmentearth.com. See, I worked that in there. And all this good stuff is going to be going for a while. Most sources indicate that there are 30 to 40 episodes of The Clone Wars that have been completed, and George Lucas says he wants to air it for at least 4 years, which is a big long time for a show that, as far as I can tell, and I need to double-check my numbers, but I'm pretty sure the span of time from the two episodes of the previous Clone Wars series, this takes between, that's not even a sentence anymore, it's late, I'm tired, but basically it looks like there's a 9-month gap, more or less, between when this show can start and when it can end within the Star Wars galaxy, because Padme gets pregnant and then she has babies, and unless the babies were really kind of late, it would make sense that there really can't be much more than 9 months between point A and point B. So I guess there's going to be a lot of stories going on at the same time, or maybe a lot of multi-parters or stuff like that. So, yeah, it's good. The future of Star Wars looks really bright. I look forward to watching this on TV every week because that's the kind of thing that I do. And with any luck, it'll continue being as entertaining as this was, because this was plenty entertaining. I just hope that they give some opportunities to kill off some characters or find ways to make things interesting, because honestly, we know half the cast's never going to die. So what can we do about that? You know, in Star Trek, I can pretend that maybe someone will get written off or someone will get shot or something. But here, it's like, well, yeah, Anakin's going to be fine. If by some freak reason they decided to freeze Obi-Wan Kenobi in carbonite, we know he'd get unfrozen. There's no doubt about that. So there's not going to be any writing people off the series unless, I guess, someone gets bored. I don't know. But Dave Filoni is director. George Lucas is producer. They did a fine work. I'm rambling, so I'm going to cut it off here. Star Wars Clone Wars, rated PG, distributed by Warner Brothers, blah, 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 90 minutes. Go see it. Otherwise, you will be sorry. Unless you hate Star Wars, in which case, save your money. You probably wouldn't like it anyway. It really is a movie made for Star Wars fans and tomorrow's generation of Star Wars fans. I don't think, if you're the person who didn't like episodes 1, 2, or 3, like any of them, don't go see this. You're not going to like it. It's original trilogy. Non-intensive. Unless you, well, Jabba the Hutt, but